Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Like that fresco of Jesus that the old lady painted over, the picture has changed. Man United's baby-faced assassin is kicking ass in the Prem and is doing crappy puns the only way to start a football podcast. Welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Marcus is off sunning himself in North Korea after seeing an advert for North Korea at a football match. My name is Pete Donaldson. We're hoping for a safe return, but until then, I'm going to be joined by Luke Moore and Disco Jim Campbell doing Hello. The show. You all right, guys?
You all right, guys? I love having you in the seat.
Good Christmas break.
You've now sat... Yeah, it was all right. You've now sat in every seat apart from mine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a reason for that.
Mine's adjusted.
Incontinent Moore. Yeah.
They all are at the moment. I think we can all... All three of us are probably the fattest we've ever been at this point.
Oh, man. It was just a constant... I was only stopping eating to consume Gaviscon. It was just horrible.
I got a book for Christmas by Jay Rayner, the food critic, and it's his 20 assembled most sort of scornful reviews.
Right, okay.
And then he talks about a food critic who his claim to fame was that he'd never been hungry since 1974. and that's very much how I feel now.
There was a brief armistice to sort of sleep.
Yeah.
And then just get on with the cheese.
I sleep in, so for the people listening at home over Christmas, I sleep in something very akin to a hospital bed.
Yeah.
But imagine a hospital bed down the aisle of a supermarket.
Okay,
where
right.
I can get things intravenously through me when I'm sleeping.
Michael Jackson used to sleep in an oxygen tent. I sleep in a Matt Lawes squashies tent.
Yeah.
Been eating a lot of Matt Lawes squashies.
Yeah. Nice.
They're a little bit like milk bottles, but squashier, as you can imagine.
So what about the often talked about in the Luke and Pete show, Desperate Dan and Iron Brew Bar? Did you get involved
with those. I did drink a lot of Vimto, though.
I found out a lot about Pete on the Luke and Pete show, and you'll no doubt be surprised to know, Jim, that Pete spent most of his childhood eating Wham bars.
Oh, yeah, no, that's
standard.
Entirely checked.
And raw sausages.
I believe they've changed the recipe to Wham bars, though, and they're maybe not as good as they once were, although maybe that's our aging taste buds.
I admitted to my mum that I used to eat frozen sausages straight from the freezer. I used to gnaw on them like savoury ice pops, and my mum could not believe it.
Yeah. Oh, I can't believe how she cooks her roast potatoes, but that's another story. That is another story.
Yes, we are turning our attention to the Premier League. How good is it, guys, that it's not all over before Christmas?
Got a title race on, like a real one.
I didn't see this coming.
No.
It's crazy.
I like the fact that it's not only a two-horse race, but I think it's obviously a three-horse race. Now, we're halfway through the season. I saw Michael Cox of Zonal Marking and other sort of inferior podcasts talking recently about how it's weird to him that people talk about the table on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
When actually, if you just wait for one day later, Boxing Day, you can talk about the Premier League table at the exact halfway point, which is where we are now. Mm. And if you're talking about the halfway point and you're seeing not just Liverpool above Man City, but Spurs as well, Man City are most people's pick for the Premier League this season, as we know. It's a packed three-horse race. It's a King George VI chase.
There's something about Liverpool that makes you sort of think they're going to drop it at some point. They're going to slip, as they say. Spurs haven't been Spursy for a little while. I think they might be an outside shout for it, to be quite frank. But Liverpool did hammer Newcastle United on Boxing Day 4-0. Klopp's 100th victory for the Reds.
How do you feel about that, Pete?
Well, I forgot how annoying it is to get absolutely hammered by a team that the commentators find themselves purring about constantly all the way through the match. Going,
we're here as well.
We're playing our part, getting hammered 4-0.
So what it's a bit like, it's like, you remember, there's a big story arc around a lot of movies in the 80s where a man would invite a woman that he liked to a party, in quotes.
Right.
And when she turned up, it was just like a candlelit dinner for two. Right, it's a bit creepy, but it happened all the time in 80s films. In that scenario, the commentator is the man.
Yeah.
Liverpool are the woman. The game is the candlelit dinner.
Yeah.
And you are Newcastle, sat around going, oh, what, anyone going to talk to me?
I would use the equally important 80s video trope of a man putting his willy inside a popcorn.
The popcorn trick
in the cinema.
Was that a thing in movies or just urban legend? Well,
no, it was in movies. It was in movies about movies. I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
I saw that in movies more than I saw it in the movie theatre.
If you've ever done it, get in touch.
Just Liverpool beating Newcastle 4-0 on Boxing
Day. Mike Ashley's the cock. I know a lot's been said about how good Klopp has been, but his personality in particular. But he's now comfortably in the top 10 managers of Liverpool when it comes to win ratios. And he's done it in his own way. He's done it in an attractive way. Is that fair?
Yeah, it is, because I did some work. I'm going to get hammered for this.
I did some work
and I found out that you're correct. No, I did some work with Dimitar Berbatov a couple of weeks ago. And he said, I'm not sure if I mentioned this on the show, but
we were building some trellising.
He said, yeah, you need an extra pair of hands to his patio. And he said that when he was playing at Leverkusen, Klopp was manager of Mainz.
Yeah.
And I think they might have even been a second tier team then. And he said that Klopp was exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's not affected. He is exactly like that. And that's interesting, because if you look at the managers around that have got, not just the managers who have got a chance this year, but the managers who have won the Premier League title in recent years, right? Wenger, Mourinho.
Recent years.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. Wenger, Ferguson, Mourinho. And then this season, you have Pochettino and you have Guardiola.
Mm.
Well, they're all capable of being quite measured when it counts, when it happens. And I don't know if you can extend that to Ranieri. Maybe he's an outlier. Maybe he is capable of being quite measured. I think he might be.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. The 40 points thing is a good example of that.
But is Klopp. Is Klopp capable of being measured? And is it going to be a case of the further Liverpool get ahead in the title race, the more disastrous for them and, in fairness, hilarious for us it's going to be when it inevitably comes crashing down?
I think he's measured more often than he's perhaps perceived to be, because it's only a story if Jurgen Klopp's running onto the pitch or fist pumping or talking about heavy metal football, stuff like that. That's not him all the time. Mm. That's him at his sort of peak Klopp.
But he is very emotionally led.
Absolutely. But it's worth, I know obviously the Premier League and the Bundesliga are different leagues, but you know, he's won titles before. So
I think personally that the key, Spurs conceded 18, Man City conceded 36. Chelsea conceded 21. Sorry, that's completely wrong. Spurs have conceded 18. Man City have conceded 15. And Chelsea have conceded 16. Liverpool, 7.
Yeah.
They are miserly at the back. And that is what's going to put them in the frame for this title.
What's great to see as well is that is team building. You know, quite so often, like, managers don't get long enough to really, really make a team their own. Mm. And it's nice to see that Liverpool have got a good manager in, and he's been allowed to do that. And we're seeing the fruits of his labour. One of the best coaches in the world, I think it's fair to argue, has come to the Premier League, been given time, and it's just a beautiful thing to watch. Last season, they were very sort of, you know, swashbuckling and gung-ho, and we all enjoyed that. But I think it's better knowing they have that in the tank, but also knowing that they're going to win. They have a kind of slight air of invincibility about them at the moment. I can't remember the last time you'd say that about Liverpool.
You're clutching at straws I'm clutching at straws trying to think of a reason, a weakness for them. it's really abstract to say, oh yeah, the manager's too emotional. It doesn't really mean anything. Mm. But I suppose you could say that, given what's happened with Man City in December, which I'm sure we'll come on to, we don't know how they're going to react to a defeat yet.
Yeah.
Now, I would have thought when Man City were beaten for the first time in the Premier League, they'd bounce straight back.
Yeah.
And what's actually happened is they've lost 3 out of the last 4 Premier League games, I think. Mm. Liverpool, of course, need to react. They're playing Arsenal next and then Man City. Two really big games. There's, you know, Arsenal are 6-1 to beat Liverpool with Bet365. £10 return, £70 if they do the business. That tells its own story.
Yeah.
I think it's probably quite a good time for Liverpool to be playing Arsenal as well, given what's happened to them fairly recently as well.
And it's great to see sort of Mo Salah coming back into form. Is he truly back? Is he as good as he was the middle of last season?
Yeah, I think so, because as we said before on the show, if he was having the season he's having now, last season as a debut season, people would still be going, wow, what a success, what a snip, blah, blah, blah. But obviously there's been reasons it perhaps took him a little bit longer to get going than usual, but he looks as reliable as ever. And he's been playing in the sort of centre-forward position as well, which he wasn't doing last season so much. So he's showing that sort of versatility as well. And also, I just feel like with Liverpool, if you look at the scorers, or three of the scorers at least, against Newcastle, it's Shaqiri, Fabinho and Day and Lovren. And they're not even necessarily starters. Quite often they're not starters. And that's a real sign of how strong this squad is.
Shaqiri went very close with a free kick. I thought Dubravka did very well with.
Oh, that was a great save.
Slim pickings for you, mate, yeah? Oh, I enjoyed that save.
Lascelles clearance.
Yeah. I can't believe the big takeaway isn't that save.
Yeah, or Hossolu missing a header.
Ooh, that's every week.
That's when every he gets the week pitch, for crying out loud. And Mike Ashley's gone on holiday, so
has he?
No selling of the club before the transfer window.
That's amazing, isn't it? That is absolutely amazing.
Why do we always fall for it every year? Yeah. Oh, I'm going to sell the club. Oh, yeah. Or is it just an excuse not to spend any money?
Has he gone anywhere nice?
I don't know, to be honest. But presumably he's a billionaire.
Marbella.
Do you reckon?
He's with Marcus and Torre Molina.
He's in North Korea and you know it. We're looking forward to the weekend. Obviously, Liverpool are taking on Arsenal at 5:30 on Saturday. You're going to get it in the face, Jim.
Yeah, I fear a dickin', to be honest, because Arsenal are looking a bit rusty of late. The defence is very makeshift and the limitations of the squad are being laid bare a little bit at the moment. They seem a little bit less ruthless in front of goal as well. So I think this is going to be a big ask for Arsenal to get something at Anfield.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird result against Brighton on Boxing Day, wasn't it? Because Matt Ryan in goal, he kind of kept you out, I think.
Yeah, Aubameyang could have had a hat-trick as well. I think Lacazette was offside in the build-up to Arsenal's goal as well, so they got away with that a little bit. But yeah, I just feel like they should have. They're a better team than Brighton, you know, even if Brighton are at home, and they showed that at times. But again, it was that sort of ruthlessness is lacking a little bit, and there's a fair bit of uncertainty in the squad around Aaron Ramsey, Ozil coming back in, and you know the makeshift defence. It's all a little bit.
There's reports.
Well, it's a new manager's first.
I know Ozil's come back in. Is Ozil the problem? Because he seems to be blamed for everything.
Well,
he's come back in, and the form's dipped a little bit.
See, what I've heard is that there was a disagreement over Ozil's perhaps position, or maybe starting on the bench in a game. I forget which game. He was quite openly unhappy about that in the dressing room, and what I've heard is that Emery took him to one side and explained to him that that is not how you behave. So I think
he's Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, he's
play Fortnite. Yeah. Get so back on the Fortnite, mate. Yeah. Calm it down.
Can you play Fortnite on the Nintendo Switch?
I believe you can. Yes.
Can you? I was just interested. Two points on that. One is that there's reports this morning that Ramsey's agreed a deal with
PSG.
Club. Is it PSG?
Yeah.
I read it was Juventus.
Really? Well, I read PSG. It could be right, either.
Okay. I know he wants to play overseas.
Yeah, I don't really understand the situation that's going on there. It's got to be to do with wages. But sorry, going back to Ozil, I actually think it's been an interesting challenge laid down from Emery, because Ozil was excellent against Burnley when he came back into the team, and Emery was saying we need him in the team. Exactly. Yeah. So he's trying to show Ozil, look, I need more from you. You're not going to get away with the things that you got away with under Arsene Wenger, like asking for days off and getting them and being ill all the time when you're not and blah, blah, blah. But obviously we want you here because you're an excellent player. So it's now down to Ozil to prove that he wants to you know, put the extra yard in. And he was kind of ineffective in the first half against Brighton, but he was hooked fairly early, and it's, yeah.
You just can't see them getting anything at Anfield.
Not at Anfield, no. I would be
really concerned about the way that Arsenal conceded that equaliser against Brighton. It was like a really, so not aimless, but optimistic long ball.
Well, it's Lichtsteiner's age caught
him out of
that.
Yeah, caught him out of position, undid them really easily, and they conceded. And you can't expect Emery to change the whole culture of a club so quickly. And you're right about the fact that they've got injuries at the back. I mean, Koscielny didn't even last the game, did he? And him and Sokratis played at the back against Brighton. They've got players out. And I understand all that. So ultimately, if they can, as you said a few weeks ago, Jim, if they can anyway find a way to get into the top four, which looks unlikely, but if they can do that, that'd be a huge success for them in their first series.
I mean, if you look at the defenders that Emery has available, and discounting Sokratis, obviously he's brought in himself.
Why are you discounting him?
Purely because obviously Emery wants to keep hold of him because he signed him.
Because he discounts himself with his performances.
No. I've been very pleased with Sokratis, I have to say. He's a little bit dirty as well, which I like. But I think if you look at the defenders in that squad, I think within sort of three transfer windows, I'd be surprised if many of them were still there, given, you know, if Emery has the choice. Like, there's a lot. Koscielny's getting on. Rob Holding would probably stay. He's been very unfortunate with an
Mustafi's
injury.
Mustafi's wanted to leave in the past.
Yeah, Mustafi, you would think, would probably be moved on. Monreal's getting older. Bayern, you'd probably hang on to. I think, you know, there's a lot of defensive work to be done with the squad. So,
and they're only 2 points off top four. So it's unrealistic to say there's no chance. It'll be tough for them. Mm. But, you know, it's
a lot of football to go, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, speaking of mass dumping of fringe players, Spurs are in action very, very soon indeed. Before we get to that match, there's a good old-fashioned 3 p.m. kickoff. Spurs versus Wolves. They hammered Bournemouth 5-0. Poch says it's too early to even consider a title challenge or consider themselves as title contenders.
Yeah, well, I think that's just good management from him, isn't it? He's got to temper that expectation. Obviously, they're going to be thinking about going for that. I think the worry for me, if I was a Spurs fan, would be general lack of hygiene. But also that you worry that they maybe still have a bit of an inferiority complex amongst the direct rivals such as Liverpool and City. I know they beat Chelsea, but that is the one thing hanging over it. But they've got this sort of surplus of home games, and that is surely going to be a huge advantage at some point.
You just don't know how that's going to. It might derail us.
Honestly,
completely.
I know we talked about this before, but we always hear about how difficult it is to move into a new stadium. But I think that's because it's an unknown quantity at the start of a season where everything is an unknown quantity. If you're up and running and doing well, and everyone's feeling good and happy, I think this is the perfect way to do it. I think this might actually be a huge advantage for them.
I'm convinced by that point of that point there, Jim. I think you're absolutely right. I just have a feeling that Spurs are at their limit now. They're playing at their limit, right? So I can't. So for example, you could possibly argue this about Liverpool as well, but I still think Man City have got another level to go.
Yeah,
Man City. I think
they've shown that at the start of the season. Really,
they're definitely going to improve based on their last month's form, right? I think it's hard to see. I might be wrong, but I think it's hard to see Spurs kicking up another level. And what they have been able to do is if they've made themselves really robust and really tough because they've essentially had to play away from home all season. I know Wembley will sort of feel a bit like a home to them now because they're used to it, but it isn't their home. Everyone knows it's not their home. Every fan knows it's not their home. So what it's done is it's made them really tough and really robust. I thought they were very good against Everton, but I thought they were fortunate as far as the way Marco Silva set up his team was absolutely suicidal. And he's got a track record of doing that. Silva, he thinks he's managing Barcelona and he isn't. He sets his team up to match a better team far too often, and they end up getting battered by better players. He did it when he was at Hull. Didn't they get beaten 7-1 by Spurs when he was at Hull? I think they did. And his formation was absolutely suicidal. Yeah. So they got a bit of fortune there, but of course they were absolutely ruthless. You can't criticise a team for scoring six goals at Everton.
I feel just sticking on Silva for a little bit. Do you think he perhaps looks and sounds the part so much that people think he's better than he is?
Partly possibly, but I also think that it's funny because I reckon I've spoken to two or three ex-pros who've played under him, and they've all said he's amazing, right? They've all said he's brilliant. He's a real player's coach, right? But none of those players have been defenders, for one. So that's notable. Two, I don't know what... I think the jury's still out with most football fans because they see a team set up against Spurs, and it's almost like an arrogant team selection by someone who has had success overseas in the past. I mean, he had this record-breaking season at Olympiacos, which would breed a certain amount of sort of confidence and arrogance, I guess. And you think, sometimes against a really good team, you're going to have to dig in a bit. Mm. They've missed one or two players as well, Everton, so you can't be too harsh on them. But I thought Spurs were great against Everton, but they've benefited massively from that selection from Silva. And then against Bournemouth, of course, you know, they're a much better team than Bournemouth, and they were ruthless again. I can't see Spurs kicking on another level. And sadly, for Spurs fans, I think they would need to do that to win the league this season because Liverpool and Man City are so good. I know Spurs are sitting above Man City, but Moreover, I think that's the case.
You just know for a fact they're not going to invest in playing talent. I mean, you look at the players that are they're going to be getting rid of: Wanyama, Dembele, Llorente, and Vorm. They're not going to be inverting the Spurs magnet that just repels players.
Yeah,
they're not going to be attracting footballers at a time where they're obviously going to be moving at the new stadium. That's going to be the big message and stuff. But like, they do need reinforcements. They do need a slightly better bench, don't they?
I think I think so. Yeah, I think most people. It's funny because some players will say, "Oh, you know, do you know what? It's not always the right thing to do to sign a player just because you can get a player or just for the sake of it. Because when you're playing well." And you keep an injury free, and everyone knows the system, it can work to your advantage.
Mm. Why roll Faustino Asprilla in there?
Yeah, exactly. the Asprilla hand grenade.
It's a misnomer. Don't, you know it.
Don't take the pin out of Faustino Asprilla in January. But the thing is, you know, Spurs have had a situation more than once where they've had a player out missing. So, you know, more than one player. Dembele's been out for periods. Kane's missed part of the season last season. You know, Ali is missing games occasionally. Eriksen started the season very slowly. They can deal with it. Don't forget they're going to have to go the whole January without Son because he's going to the Asian Cup.
Mm. And he's been imperious over Christmas, hasn't he?
Exactly. So they're now 8-1 to win the league this season with Bet365. £10 on that will return £90 if they get it done. It's a big ask for them, but they're in second. They're still there. They're part of the conversation now. Absolutely. Despite what Pochettino says. Mm.
Kai Walker-Peters, I thought, played very, very
three
well.
Three assists.
That's his first start, first league start.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. Does he need to play more?
Did he not start the first game of last season? Or was it the first league start of the season, this season, you mean?
This is his first league start.
Ever?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry, this season.
This
sorry.
Season, right.
Apologies.
Yeah. Jim, I was just going to say, because it's funny because there's a situation with Pochettino where he's got this reputation of bringing through young players, which he hasn't really done consistently at Spurs, to my memory. And then the first game of last season, he started Kyle Walker-Peters and he played really well. Then you never saw him again. Mm. He went out on loan somewhere, didn't get anywhere in the team for ages. Now he's just coming back in. And you think, if you marry that situation with their not signing players up with the fact that they've got these highly rated young players, and that Oliver Skipp started the Burnley game, and now Kyle Walker-Peters has come in.
And Foyth,
they didn't bring through, they signed him,
fair
right?
Enough, yeah.
Yeah, and they might need to rely on these players a little bit more often, yeah.
Well, I mean, they have got a little bit of good news in the shape of the triggering of the extension in Toby Alderweireld's contract, taking him right up to 2020. Unfortunately, because he's signed this new contract, it activates a £25 million buyout clause in the summer, which runs for the whole of the summer until the last 2 weeks of the season. So he can't be signed in the last 2 weeks of the clause season. In the window, but he can for the rest of that time.
I think Mourinho might be signing for himself, just to help out around the house.
Yeah,
it's funny because he got paid off £24 million from United.
Mm. So just buy him,
invest that in Toby,
use him as a butler.
Yeah.
Well, we talk about Poch not bringing players on, but I mean players like for Wolves, who obviously Spurs are going to be taking on. Players like Cody and Bennett, they have improved immensely in the Premier League, haven't they?
Yeah. Yes, they've done well. Cody had a brilliant goal line clearance. Mm. See that. It's great. Absolutely legged it.
I'm really, really intrigued to see how Wolves will set up against Spurs, especially given what we just said about Marco Silva, because Wolves are similar, aren't they? They go at teams. They don't fear anyone. We've spoken about this before.
And Spurs don't have the best defence in the top five. In fact, they have the worst in the top five, I do believe. So yeah, they can be got at.
The danger is, though, that if you try and go toe-to-toe with Spurs, they'll just pull you apart. Mm. So I think this might be a bit of a ding-dong.
It could be a ding-dong.
I quite liked it when he started the season with the same team every week for about 10 games. He said, I'm just put my trust in you, stick with you. And there's no way they're going to get relegated this season. And if you look at the plan they've got in terms of the ownership of the club, it's actually pretty interesting. They want to, you know, push their way up. I think it's a definite they're going to hugely reinvest in the summer, try and kick on again. They took everyone's eye when they went toe-to-toe with Man City, didn't they, earlier in the season?
Yeah.
The form Spurs are in, you fancy them to win, but you know Wolves can't be written off. You're right to point out some of the players they've got that have hugely improved, but they've also brought some quality in as well. I don't quite know why he started at Adama Traore last game. For me, he's a dictionary definition impacts up. Mm. I don't think he's as effective from starting the game, but other than that, yeah, they look decent.
Mm. But Wolves could get something. You never know. Right, it's time for some emails with Jim. Have you got some emails, Jim?
Is. And yes, I. do. Right, so we've got one from Ben Radley to start with.
It's not the bees because it's Jim.
No.
Yeah, you're not exactly. using this as a thinly veiled vehicle to settle some old scores.
No, I'm not. That's I used to stand up for that. So, dear Ramblers, last weekend I had the opportunity to use my dad's season ticket to see a live match for the first time in 3 years.
Wow.
I took my girlfriend along for her first ever experience of live football. Needless to say, it was the nillest nil-nil I've ever seen. Newcastle versus Fulham.
Yay!
At the stadium my dad calls the Theatre of Disappointment. Yeah. At one point, I turned to my shivering better half and asked her how she was doing. All she said was, "I don't think this is for me."
No. Oh, no.
Take it to Chinatown. Have a meal.
I remember taking my ex-girlfriend to Portsmouth over Christmas once during the, I think it was over Christmas, during the Alan Perrin era.
Right.
2-0 at home to Wigan, lost. No shots.
No shots.
It was awful.
Wow.
It was so bad.
Last time I went to football with a girl, Fulham Newcastle in the sunshine. A couple of seasons ago in Championship.
He's just talking about Fulham.
Yeah.
I love that. Rub it in.
It was a beautiful summer's day in London, though.
You know what's interesting? When you go to, so as football fans, as we all are, you go to a game that's a bit shit. Mm. It's sort of like, oh, okay, that's fair enough. Go for a beer after. You don't really think about it again. But when you take someone along who doesn't normally go to football,
it
becomes really apparent.
You, doesn't it? Yeah.
The game feels like it's about 6 hours long.
Yeah.
And all you want to do is just get out of there.
Yeah.
You know what? A lot of this is boring.
Yeah. Don't choose a winter fixture.
No.
Try like a late August one.
Now, one of my favourite bits about this time of year doing the podcast is that a lot of our correspondence seems to have been sent after a few drams.
Love that.
So this one is titled "I'm a Stupid Newcastle Fan in America."
It's from Pete.
It sounds
like you are settling scores with me.
It's weirdly been Newcastle heavy this week as well. Perhaps those two things are related. Hello, I've been listening to your show for a length of time, and including this email, I've sent more than zero emails in total. Anyways, I'm emailing you from the real Steel City, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to tell you that, frankly, we don't care what you have to say about Sheffield. You said you'd like to know how people became fans of certain teams. Well, I've been a soccer fan / player my whole life, but started supporting Newcastle United Football Club in 2014 because I hate myself and I'm self-sabotaging. Plus, I thought Remy Cabella was Orlando Bloom, and who doesn't want Legolas on their favourite team? No friend of mine, I assure you. Finally, if you'll indulge me in one final egg pun, I believe you missed our club captain, Jamal Eggshells. Have a wonderful day, or don't. I don't care. Justin Griffith. So when you sober up, Justin, I hope you're happy to hear that.
Can I just say, the best part of that email is the fact that Justin Griffith is almost certainly the name that Pete gives to authorities when he's been in trouble. What's your name? Justin Griffith.
Bill Doorwindow.
Yeah.
It almost sounds as if he's shouting that email through a letterbox.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not another thing!
There's not a single capital letter in it.
Pete, you are famous among these circles for your occasional self-sabotage, but you supported Newcastle because they were brilliant, right?
Yeah.
It was a great team to watch. And they're obviously quite local to where you live. It wasn't an act. I mean, starting to support Newcastle like now would be a horrendous act of self-flagellation.
I think even 2014, Pardew era in your castle. What are you doing to yourself?
Well, the season where he did really well, though, like he forced Dawn, and that probably tricked a few people.
Yeah.
Will that man's crimes never end?
still under contract, Newcastle.
Yeah. Any more, Jim?
Got one more. Hi, gents. Listening to your excellent Christmas editions has brought back memories of a game I witnessed at the Den years ago. It could probably fit within any of the bust-up, hard man or outfield player in goal episodes, but thought you might enjoy it even after these have been released. In 2003, my beloved Millwall welcomed the Warlock himself, Mr. Neil Warnock, and his Sheffield United team to the Den.
Potions.
After a forgettable first half, the announcement was made at halftime that both our very own Kevin Muscat and the opposition goalkeeper, Paddy Kenny, had been sent off by the ref for fighting in the players' tunnel.
Sound like Kevin Muscat.
Yeah, indeed. Imagine the absolute shock that greeted this news. Not for the first time, Phil Jagielka was summoned as the Warlock's replacement goalie, owing to his preference for not having a subkeeper on the bench. The Millwall fans were full of anticipation that the goals would be raining in for the next 45 minutes. We lost 2-1. I attach a link to the behind-the-scenes video of the game and Warlock's reaction to the result, where he delights in pointing out to our fallen heroes that was in Muscat over and over. Favourite part of the video is the sheepish look on Paddy Kenny's face when Warnock is talking to his side in the dressing room after the game. That is from Rich Warnham.
Well, the thing is, we all know Jagielka's a decent quality goalkeeper.
Effectively a goalkeeper.
Can you I can imagine Neil Warlock getting some hair clippings and fingernails of both the players who got sent off.
Into his poop.
Luke's cauldron.
His sports direct cauldron.
Yeah, well, it's Neil Warlock, isn't it? It's Neil Warlock.
Breath of the Wild. That's all he's talked about.
Breath of the Wild. That's going to be Neil Warlock's autobiography.
I got a lovely little breath, me.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll be back very soon with more football and more football ramble, more importantly.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
He played in a reserve game the other day, and I could have run about more than he did.
Now it's Harry. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Previous show sponsored by Bet365. Did you know we've got a Football Ramble subreddit?
No.
I had no idea. There are people chatting about this very show.
Is it
on Reddit?
The bad one.
The bad one. What do you mean?
Is it like the Donald? Is it, you know, it started off as a joke. And
No. There are people just talking about the show.
Well, hang on a minute. Can we become president or not?
Do you want to become an admin? We should be allowed to become mods somehow. Yeah. But apparently people keep on, well, not even apparently, I've seen it with my own eyes. You know, like upvoting and downvoting?
Yes.
It works on the Google rankings as well. People are trying to upvote a picture of Spelzy wearing just a fur coat. So that it'll be the top kind of picture that comes up when you type in Marcus Speller into Google.
I, for one, would like to encourage this.
That's a photo of Marcus from university, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Is it Luke Moore?
No, I didn't take it. But I'm pretty sure he's standing.
I was in the room.
He's standing in a university dorm room, I think.
There's also one of him playing a piano in the street and another one of him holding a machine gun from one of his adventures.
One of his adventures.
You know, we had heard Harry Redknapp out of the break there.
Yeah.
You know that he's now, inevitably, he's doing a spoken word tour.
Of course he
nice.
Is. He's doing like an audience with tour.
Honestly, I'm a celebrity. It's a platform. It really is.
It's a real platform,
he's having a lovely time. And he needs it.
Pep Guardiola would be on it soon if he's not careful.
Yes, so that Man City on Sunday, obviously a fairly important match when it comes to the title race. Pep says he needs to change the dynamic after shipping a couple of goals against
Leicester.
That sounds
like management speak, Pep, and I know you hate that.
Change the dynamic. Good results make miracles in the mind.
Yeah. They just start playing rugby.
Yeah, it sounds like it means something, that, doesn't it? But it doesn't.
Miracles in the mind.
Isn't that not just thinking?
Yeah.
I think it's just imagining things.
How have Manchester City managed to just chuck away their December? Well, have they just been having like Christmas parties all the time?
One of the symptoms was an absolutely world-class goal from one Andros Townsend, wasn't it? You're lucky he's away.
A lovely goal
from Pereira at Leicester as well.
Yes.
I mean, they have been a bit unlucky to be on the end of those two.
Yeah.
But you know, one thing that sprung to mind for me, I'm not sure about the first game they lost, but the last two they've lost, they were without Fernandinho.
Yeah.
And we still on this show, weeks ago, that's the area of weakness for City. If they lose him, he's such an adept midfield player, so positionally good, he can do everything. They've played Stones in there and Godoy in there, and neither of them, for different reasons, can do it as well.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of that and also that Gabriel Jesus' form, even though he scored a few goals recently, has been, you know, lower than you'd expect of him. And also Sergio Aguero still looks a little bit rusty after injury. So I think that it's blunted them up front and made them a little more vulnerable in midfield, and it's made them almost like a human team again. But I have another theory, which is perhaps more plausible. After the Palace defeat, I noticed that Pep Guardiola had a cold sore. So I feel if City drop points, he sort of gets uglier, and that his sort of attention to detail is based purely on vanity.
Like the 80s TV show Nightmare, where the more health you lost, the more of your skull fell off.
Yeah, exactly that.
That sort of thing.
Terrifying children's show, that.
It horrible. Really was.
I thought you were going to go into some insight, because you are the Ramble cold sore correspondent with that
Indeed.
Question. I thought you were going to go into some... Well, Jim sometimes has a cold sore.
Oh, yeah. And I also noticed that Big Sam gets them too.
He does. Yeah.
Big cold sores. So, like pizzas.
So it's almost like a football version, but illness and not age version of the picture of Dorian Gray. Is that what we're talking about?
It's in the same genre, but it's not quite comparable.
Do you reckon Pep Guardiola's got like a picture of someone in the attic and it's just a really shit manager?
Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, it just gets worse and worse. The good news is Pete Southampton are coming to town. Oh no, Man City are going to Southampton's town, aren't they? Yeah, okay. That's what good news for them. That's just what you need, isn't it?
What, flying all the way down to South? At least they've got an airport. That's all I'm saying.
All the way, it's about 300 miles. Not that far, is it?
Well, if you're flying, all right. The fans have to do that. The Manchester City fans have to travel all the way down to Southampton.
Yeah.
In a time where the trains have never been more full, quite frankly, as I can attest to.
How was your train journey back from Hartlepool?
Not too bad. There was a big dog next to me. Right. The man kept on trying to talk to me about trains, and I just sort of dozed off.
Jim, you had a standing up journey all the way back from Edinburgh.
Yeah,
didn't you?
I foolishly booked an open return, and that meant that I had to stand the whole way. I sat in a luggage shelf at one point, which was also a mistake, because once I was there, I couldn't.
Get
out. So just became a little sad statue.
Here's a little question for you, Jim, because you groaned audibly when Pete talked about someone trying to talk to him. You're on a journey down from Edinburgh on the train. Mm-hmm. Would you rather do what you have to do there, stand all the way, or have a seat but next to someone really annoying who keeps trying to talk to you?
I am quite comfortable being fairly rude to those people, so I go with a seat.
Yeah, I think I would as well, because I would just put my headphones in.
Yeah.
You wouldn't. You're too polite, Pete. You'd be really nice.
Yeah, but I've
given me a house key.
I've got a bit of a cold, so I was the phantom sniffer all the way down.
Is Pep Guardiola too polite?
He's certainly very flat across the middle at the moment, so to speak. Aren't we all at Christmas?
We have a situation with Man City where the only place we could find for them to have weakness, but there's two, wasn't there? One was, if something happens to Edison, who's made some errors this season, but then, as we've talked about before, most top-level goalkeepers have made errors this season, partly because of the role they have to play. And the other area was Fernandinho, and that's exactly what's happened. So that's why, clearly, Guardiola wanted Jorginho in the summer. Yeah. He obviously didn't get him. But they're playing Southampton next, and Southampton got their pants pulled down a little bit, really, by West Ham. They could have got something out of the game. They're going to find it difficult. I know Southampton have got a new manager, and I know they're at home. But if you're Man City, you probably want this kind of game to get yourself back on the horse. That Southampton are 10-1 to beat Man City and to pile on further misery. £10 returns £110, including stake with Bet365.
Mm. Yeah, I think if Southampton had got something against West Ham, this would seem a bit more of a potential banana skin for City than it does now. Can we talk about Felipe Anderson?
Yeah,
briefly,
if you want.
I think he's
too good for West Ham.
Clearly, one of the best players outside the top six, I would say, because he's got that glide, a real top quality forward player. Always has that glide about them. Yeah. He's got it to spare.
Mm. And thank you to everyone who's been sending me Hatem Ben Arfa montages period.
After the Maverick episode.
After the Maverick episode. No, well, maybe in honour, but apparently he's picked up his form a little bit and he's playing a bit of football, which is always good to see.
Could Mike Ashley get a loan deal for him?
Oh, damn it, Matt Manson.
That's why Mike Ashley's on holiday. Go and see Ben Arfa.
Yes.
Stop getting his hopes up.
He's starting a timeshare with Ben Arfa.
Stop it. These trousers are tight. They can't handle that kind of excitement.
You've actually undone your belt.
I haven't done my belt. It's Christmas, man. It's
true,
like, look at, there's none, you know, I need one of those machines that will give us those little hooks, you know, the little hooks for the trousers.
The trouser hook machine.
The trouser
hook
machine.
Can I just say, I know I'm not one to talk about this, but that doesn't look anywhere near having any hope of ever being done up.
No.
They're too
small. It does. Yeah. Anyway, in other news, Burnley got a bit of a shellacking from Everton. We're just kind of rounding up what's taken place in the last few weeks, who themselves were turned over by Spurs. Good to see James McCarthy back in training after something like 10, 11 months, something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
Horrible
because
break.
To my shame, and I'm sure there are many football fans out there who are the same, when a football player who's not, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo gets a really serious injury, the way football is, and we cover it twice a week, some of us cover it 3 or 4 times a week, you just forget about players.
Yeah.
And it must be so difficult for them, and the psychological impact of having an injury that bad, it's a double leg break, wasn't it?
Yeah. You must feel like a forgotten man.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when I first saw that, I was like, oh yeah, James McCarthy. So I am bloody pleased for him, actually. I look forward to him having given the runaround by another terrible Marco Silva team selection when he's not yet match fit.
Eden Hazard has stated for the record that he wants to become a Chelsea legend before he signs for Real Madrid.
The problem with that is he wants to play for Real Madrid slightly more.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just scored his 100th and 101st goal.
Yeah.
So is that him going, look, I probably am a legend now.
Yeah. See
so
you later.
I'm going to go to Real Madrid.
That's a video, 101 great goals. That's the video. That's the VHS tape with Danny Baker, isn't it?
And I understand that sometimes Chelsea fans will say, oh, Eden Hazard's only answering the questions he's asked about Real Madrid.
Yeah.
But one, he can just flat batter that away.
Yeah,
two,
no.
He doesn't have to do that legendary Thierry Henry gif with his smirk before he answers. You know.
Delicious. Yeah. I enjoyed Christian Cavaselli's, well, I didn't enjoy him colliding with the post, but I enjoyed the fact that he was taking a Twitter after he'd gone to hospital, been given oxygen, and he looked like he was in a terrible state. And he basically said, I'm in agony, nothing's broken, and that the post had visited him in hospital.
Nice.
Which I think is a wonderful gag.
The only way that could be better is if they had an actual post next to him with his arm around it. That'd have been so funny.
About that, mate. Yeah. Also, that video of the Fulham fan wagging his finger like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
That was great because it was so polite.
It was so Fulham.
It was most Fulhamish.
It puts me into the mind of Daddy's relaxation, Mummy's relaxation day every time.
Yes. Yeah, can we recount the story of Mummy's relaxation day?
Yeah, who was
it? It was me.
It?
Yeah,
you do it.
Two kids at the football with their dad. One of the kids is just not really watching the match and just being a bit of a pain. The dad says, "Are you not enjoying the match?" Go, no, I'm not. Blah, blah, blah. So the dad goes, "All right, well, next time you can stay at home." And he goes, "Yeah, good, I will." And then he goes, "But you have to be quiet because it's Mummy's relaxation day, Saturday. Every second Saturday is Mummy's relaxation day."
Yeah. Why shouldn't mums have relaxation days?
Exactly.
If you're listening out there and you're a mum, look after yourself.
If I had the money, I'd buy my mum a flotation tank.
Would you?
Or a bath.
Yeah. That would be taken down.
Rather than flights to places that she doesn't want to go.
Peter drowned his mum.
Roast potatoes gate sent you over the edge.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
Are we going to hear the tale?
She's a war criminal.
My mum... So Pete's, I've got a little bit of an addendum to this story.
Right.
Your mum cooks the roast potatoes the day before Christmas,
yeah.
Microwaves them. Unacceptable. Mm. Right? My mum heard about that over Christmas, I told her.
Yeah.
And she insisted on taking 3 roast potatoes, cooked properly, I may add, to one side.
Right.
And on Boxing Day, we microwaved them. And she poked him a couple of times with a fork and went, no, I'm sorry, no.
It's good to know Mummy Moore is just as vindictive. Towards the Donaldsons as her son.
As they say, the roast potato doesn't fall far from the tree, my friend.
No, when you're around. Anyway, best bet with Bet365. What we got, Luke?
This week's best bet with Bet365 comes courtesy of me.
Ooh. Ooh. La la.
Travel things, promises kept, promises weren't kept, so now I'm doing it. I do like to wade in every so often, as you guys know, just to put myself out there to not sort of, because I obviously shellack our listeners as soon as they lose, so I'm putting myself out there. This week I've gone for Spurs to win both halves against Wolves. It's 2-1, so £50 return, £150 including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK, of course. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org. That Spurs have to win both halves. So you take each half in isolation as a separate smaller game, and Spurs have to win both of them at 2-1 to raise some money for Prostate Cancer UK.
Luke Rodden putting himself out there.
Mm. Why not?
Hey? But not involving
Imagine
anything.
The first person to get the ORE would be me. I'll probably put it back.
We've got a bit of a game. It's not going for Glold, but it's a little bit like going for Glold in that it's a game on the Football Ramble. So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, but you to play a game. Cause people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for Luke's game.
Yeah, Luke's game with a twist this week, though. Obviously, Marcus is away, so there's only 2 of you to play. So we're going to go for the game where you auction and bid for the amount of clubs you can name of a player.
Oh.
Okay. But the twist is, because Pete doesn't normally play this game, I thought I'd give him a little bit of a head start, Jim. I hope you don't mind, because you're a seasoned veteran.
Fair enough.
Cheers, Lukey.
Every player is a Newcastle legend.
Right.
Oh, okay. No.
But it's not actually going to help him. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about different clubs he's got a name.
Yeah.
The best that's going to happen is you both know you can start with one because you all know they play for Newcastle, right?
Right.
Okay, so people listening at home,
I'll probably forget that.
You'll catch up on it pretty quickly if you've not heard it before. It's fairly straightforward. So the first game, because I've given Pete the head start, I'll give Jim the chance to go first. The first player is Peter Beardsley, and you have a total of 11 clubs to name to choose from.
Oh, okay. So, how long do I... Okay, so...
Try, if we can keep this as quick as possible,
yeah,
that'll be good. So you've got 11 to choose from. Jim, obviously Newcastle United included in that. Who he played for, of course, yeah. Between 1983 and 1987. And then went back there in 93 to 97.
Decent.
Two stints.
It's only four.
Okay, you opened it with four.
Confident about, yeah.
Okay, can you go five?
I could do six, bitches.
Oh, Jim, you've got to go seven or let him name them.
Yeah, no, name them.
Right, so now you've got to name six. If you take a single misstep, as in you name a wrong club or something else, Jim gets the point.
Right.
Name your six. Go.
Vancouver Whitecaps.
Correct.
Liverpool.
Correct.
Everton.
Correct.
Newcastle United.
Yes.
Fulham.
Yes.
Hartlepool United.
Yes.
Yes.
Six.
Yeah, the first four were the ones I had.
You could have had Carlisle United, Manchester United, who he never actually made a league appearance for.
Yeah.
You could have had Bolton Wanderers as well, and he spent a bit of time in Man City on loan as well.
Lovely.
So that's 1 point to Jim.
Was that under Keggy as well? That probably would have been under Keggy, wouldn't it?
Probably, yeah. That's 1 point to Pete. Okay, next one is Pete to go first, and it is your friend and mine, David Ginola. And he's played for seven clubs in total, by the way. Oh, actually, no, he's played for eight. Sorry, not seven. You're not going to get eight. I mean, you're struggling.
I'm going to go for
four. Four, okay. Jim, can you do five?
Yeah, there are. I definitely know four.
You could have a little pop at the fifth.
I have a little pop at the fifth, yeah.
So you're going five. Pete, you're going to go six? Can I say six?
No, definitely
Jim,
not.
Name five, please.
So we're going to go Newcastle.
Correct.
Aston Villa.
Correct.
Spurs.
Correct.
Paris Saint-Germain.
Yes.
Oh, this is where I'm bluffing
a little.
I didn't
think you'd get Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah, I was in between that and Marseille. I was like,
I feel like there's another one in England.
Play along at home if you're listening. Jim's got four. He needs to name a fifth. You're probably screaming the name of a club and you're sat in the train on the way into work at the moment.
I'm going to go with Marseille.
Incorrect, Jim, I'm afraid. There's another point to Pete. You could have had Everton and you could have had Toulon, RC Paris or Brest.
Yeah.
it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, Jim, your name first this time. You'll get a chance to bid first this time. It is the legendary Philippe Albert.
Everyone knows his name.
He's played for five clubs in total.
Okay, I reckon I can do two.
Two.
One of those will be a guess.
Pete, can you do three?
I can't do three. Definitely can't do three.
Okay, you want to name two?
Yeah.
Jim, name two.
Because I don't think he knows a second.
Newcastle and correct. Club Bruges.
Oh, mate, it's a good guess, but it's not right. It's not right. That's a third point to Pete. You could have had Charleroi, Mechelen, Anderlecht.
Oh, God, that was my other one.
Or Fulham. Spent a bit of time on loan at Fulham. Pete's won 3-0, but we'll just go through it very quickly.
Very much relying on Jim's kind of lack
Pete,
of...
you're first this time. Keith Gillespie, and he played for 11 clubs.
11. Holy moly.
Your chance to you could whitewash Jim here.
He went all over the
show. If you listen at home and you're sort of intimately familiar with Keith Gillespie's work, see how many you can name yourself. There's 11 to choose from in total. His career went from 93 to 2013. Fantastic career. Pete, how many can you name?
Goodness me. Three.
Three, Jim, can you do four?
I'm going to have a guess at four.
See, Jim goes balls
Jim's
out.
Jim's right in there, isn't he?
Do you want to go five?
No.
Jim, God, name four.
So, Man United.
Correct.
Newcastle United.
Correct.
Obviously. I'm going to go Wolves.
Incorrect.
Oh, Jim.
Right. You could have had Man United. It's another point to Pete. This could be a whitewash. Man United, Wigan, Newcastle, Blackburn, Leicester, Sheffield United, Charlton Athletic, Bradford City, Glentoran, Darlington or Longford Town.
Darlington?
Yeah, only for three games in 2010. An illustrious stint.
Oh, silly.
The final one is Warren Barton. Jim, you're first. He's played for six in total. The
six
great Warren
total.
Barton. Jim, you've got to avoid a whitewash here.
It's a whitewash by default, though, in many ways.
Newcastle United legend.
I've let myself down here.
I reckon three.
Pete?
I certainly couldn't do four. I know that.
So Jim, you're up again. Out. Three.
Okay, I'm being defensive. I'm Rafa Benitez.
It's working.
Go Newcastle.
Good one.
Wimbledon.
Yes.
I got one or two here. I'm going to go West Ham.
Incorrect. That's the number one to beat.
Did he go MLS? Was one of them Swindon. What was his team in MLS?
No, Swindon was the other way.
Or Nazzle.
He's not playing MLS.
At this point, my basically my resource of knowledge for this is hazy memories of sticker books.
That's not helping me at all.
Very quickly to finish off the admin: Maidstone United, Wimbledon, Newcastle United, Derby County, Queen's Park Rangers, another trip to Wimbledon, and finishing his career at Dagenham and Redbridge.
Don't our underwhelming footballers get around?
They do. Hey, that's a 5-0 win. That's
yeah,
massive.
Yeah, it's big.
5-0. Hawaii 5-0. Oh, yeah.
Philippe like... Albert with one of them as well.
5-0 and Albert gets one. Love that. Oh,
fantastic. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show sponsored by Bet365. I thought we'd end with a festive quote.
Okay.
We don't always do this. From John Anarisa's autobiography that's just been released. From the night in which Craig Bellamy attacked him with a golf club. Bellamy sputtered, "Nobody disrespects me like that in front of the lads. I don't care if I go to jail. My kids have enough money for school and everything. I don't care. I'll fucking do you."
Wow.
Good night, children.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, "I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit," and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.